to God. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with me, please? God showed me some things today. I hope you get as excited about them as I have. The title of my message tonight is, I Don't Know You from Adam. Amen. Glory to God. So if you turn to Genesis, the third chapter, starting in verse number 6, very familiar scripture. It's about the sin in the garden. You know, sin changes you. I've often said that sin makes you stupid, causes you to do some things that you ordinarily wouldn't do. Verse number 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eye and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You know, when you sin, you always involve somebody. You know, when people backslide, they want to take somebody with them to give them more confidence in what they're doing because they need a crowd. They need somebody to justify, and so there is no such thing as victimless sin. Verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I think about a month ago, I preached on the forbidden fruit, which is figs. And after they ate that forbidden fruit, they realized, you know, we're shamed. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Ever tried to hide from God? Every once in a while, I'm preaching a message and somebody is hiding behind somebody in the congregation, or they're holding up a baby so I don't see them. I don't understand that, but they obviously don't want the preaching to hit them directly, you know? And verses 9 is what I want you to see. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? What I saw today is that where isn't necessarily like God didn't know where they were, you know? It could be as dark as you could possibly imagine, and God still sees you in the dark. But what it really should have translated is, what are you? Not where are you? What are you? I don't recognize you. Ever have somebody leave the church and you run into them maybe months later, years later, and you say, wait a minute, I don't recognize you. You see, change comes when we sin to the point where not only do we not recognize people, but sometimes God doesn't recognize who we once were. Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word. Help us, God, to use it in order to draw closer to you. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Genesis 1 and 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So God created Adam in the image of God, and even before God actually had an image, but he was going to have an image when he came through Mary, a manifestation of the flesh. So he knew exactly what he wanted to do when he created Adam and Eve. So man was made in the image and the likeness of God. However, only Adam and Jesus were made in the image of God. Now I'll explain that in a little while. And since there was only one person of Adam, then we must simply conclude that there is only one person of God, right? If God was three persons, then Adam would have to be three persons as well. Because Adam was made in the image and the likeness of God. Should I go slower? This is pretty simple stuff, you know? I mean, I don't understand how we could find a God that has one image, yet he has three personages. Nobody celebrates Christmas like apostolics. Now, I've had people say, over the years, 30 years, I've had a handful of people say, well, I'm not celebrating Christmas. And they various reasons I don't understand. But nobody celebrates Christmas like apostolics because the one in the manger was not a stranger. Amen. You know? Amen. He was born the mighty God, and he was born the everlasting Father. We know him like no one else knows him. The earthly body of Jesus was not made in the image of Adam, but rather Adam was made in the image of the one that was going to come. You see, now when God called unto Adam and said, Adam, where art thou? I believe it was a deep sigh of hurt and disappointment, like, what is going on? I called you to be just like me, and now look at you. All of God's plans for creation was now shattered. The whole thing was no good. Because it had to be a different plan. It wasn't that God couldn't find Adam, because God knew exactly what his thoughts were, where he was. No one can hide from God, and I believe the question of where are you was more a result of not recognizing Adam after he had sinned. Because after Adam sinned, he lost his image and likeness of God. So now we have to get to the place where we are now made in the image and likeness of God, since Adam and Eve made the wrong decision. When God looked at Adam, he saw a different image than what he created initially. And you see, God's plan was that he would be seen in the likeness of man. That every time someone looked at Adam, they'd say, just like God. You look just like God, you know? I mean, why do we have children? We have children because, well, we want somebody to love us and someone to somewhat look like us and someone who kind of acts like us and has the same ears and nose that we have, you know? And someone who depends upon us. So why did God create mankind? Because he wanted someone to love that looked like him and acted like him and talked like him, you see? Someone who was so like him that everybody else would say, wow, what church do you go to? But after Adam sinned, God couldn't recognize Adam anymore. Adam didn't bear the image of God anymore. Longer. Hallelujah. The same is true of man who didn't recognize God because of man's sin. When God looked at a fallen Adam, he said, I don't know you, Adam. And when Christ came, God manifested in the flesh. The Bible said in John 1 and 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the reason the world didn't know God is because they were in sin. And once you come out of sin, all of a sudden you recognize that's God. Everything, that's God. That's, look at the sunset, that's God. You see? We all of a sudden recognize God in everything once we have been born again. Now, God wants to restore his image in the New Testament church, is what he wants to do. Didn't restore the image of Adam in the likeness of God. For 4,000 years in the Old Testament, God now wants to look down on this world and see himself again in the flesh. What he wants to do is recognize the original Adam in the church. God once again wants to recognize his creation as he meant his creation to be. Now, no matter what was done in the Old Testament, you could never get to that likeness of the original Adam, could never get to the likeness of God in the Old Testament. God wants the world to recognize the church as God in the flesh. When you see me, you see the Father. It's not just the flesh of God who could say that, but when you see me, you also see God in me. And that is God's greatest purpose for the church, that when people see us, whoa, something about you. Take a look at Genesis, the fifth chapter. I'm not preaching long tonight, but I feel this is so important. Genesis 5. Verse number 1 says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him." So we've established throughout this book of beginnings that when God created man, he created man in God's likeness. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Now, what I want you to see is God called their name Adam, not just his name Adam, but their name Adam. One reason God could call them both Adam is because Eve came out of Adam. The reason you can be called Jesus is because we came out of Jesus and we are the body of Christ. Out of him came his bride. We came out of Jesus to reflect the very image of God. In Genesis 5 and 3, it says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth." So now after Adam sinned, he has his own son, but his own son is in the image of him, not God. In the likeness of Adam, not in the likeness of God. And so now, from this point on, all of the children that are born in this world are after the likeness of sinful man instead of holy God, you see. Now watch this. After Adam fell, men were no longer created in the image of God. Adam's son was in that likeness of a fallen Adam. We're not just talking about the physical attributes, but we're talking about his attitude. It talks about his desires, his temptations. All of those things now are passed on to the sons of man because of sin. God did not make man a sinner. Amen. When Adam fell, then all of the DNA of the sinner was passed on through Adam, you see. The sins of the father are passed down to the third generation. Therefore, we all have taken on the image of the fallen Adam. And now I have the same temptations and same draw to the wrong things that Adam had and Eve from the very beginning. Romans 3 and 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Chapter 6 and 26 says, "And the wages of sin is death." The Bible tells us that God formed Adam from the dust of the earth. Now, he spoke everything into existence, but when it came to man, he knelt down, formed man from the dust of the earth, and breathed the life into Adam's nostrils. And now we come to the New Testament in the book of Acts in the second chapter, and there was a mighty rushing wind that came from heaven, and it breathed new life into the second Adam, you see. Now, the Holy Ghost is that new creation bringing us back to the likeness and the image of God. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us it was a formed Adam in the garden, and then in the upper room, there's a new Adam created. Sin deformed man. And throughout the entire Old Testament, there was not one body that exhibited his image. Not one. Now, you can get as good as you can, and you'll never look like God. You can do the best that you possibly can. And there's a whole bunch of religions who try to do everything they possibly can in order to line up with what the Word of God says. But you know what? They'll always come short to the likeness and the image of God. Take a look at Matthew, the 11th chapter, and verse number 11. Jesus so vividly explains that. It says, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." So from the very beginning, nobody was any better than John the Baptist. "Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So the only way that anybody could actually reflect the image of God is for them to be born of the water and born of the Spirit. Because John the Baptist, he did it all. He did it right. God gave him all gold stars. But still, the least of the saints. Who are the saints? The ones who are in the church, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. The least is better than John the Baptist, because you can't make your image look like God until you've got God's Spirit within you and God's name on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Something was lost in Adam that was gone for 4,000 years. God couldn't see himself in anyone on the earth. Said there were shadows and types, but there was no image. There were prophets and patriarchs in the Bible who gave us a glimpse of what God would be like, but they themselves were not a recreated Adam. And that brings us to the purpose of the New Testament church. The church is the formation of a brand new body of believers that now is a recreation of what God intended Adam to be at the very beginning. The church is that formation in which God could one more time see his image and reveal himself to the world. What he wanted to do is he wanted to put Adam and Eve on a pedestal, a display, and say, "Hey, look, this is what God looks like. This is how God acts, you see." And he wanted to reveal himself through the church in a newly formed Adam. And the church is that literal body of Christ here on the earth. Amen. Now that's a responsibility. I wish Adam and Eve would have taken that responsibility a little more, you know, seriously, because, hey, I can't do anything because I need to be the body and the image, the likeness of God. We are here to reflect the image, to reveal him, to illustrate him, a representative of his body here on earth. We become the original Adam again, if you will, a body that is no longer cursed by the effect of sin, but sanctified, separated, set apart, Spirit-filled, water-baptized, born again, and that's the only way we could represent. We aren't good enough in order to get holy, but we are sanctified by his Spirit and justified by his name. So we could regain the image and the likeness of God. Amen. I want us to really see how important it is to have the image of God. You know, we're in a place today where the churches just don't feel like, well, it's not that important. And God's saying, no, you're my ambassador. You're who everybody sees. You know, if you don't look like me, there isn't going to be a church, you see. Take a look at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Second Corinthians 5, and starting in verse number 14. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So our responsibility, because God died for us, is that we die to everything else outside of the Word of God. And then it goes on to say, therefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That word new is fresh, and the word create means the original creation. So what God is saying, I'm making a bunch of new atoms, and this time I'm putting a power within them so they can stay in the image and the likeness of who I am. It says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation, or making other people like Christ, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead or place, be ye reconciled to God. So Jesus leaves, his body leaves, but he left his body here. I would not leave you comfortless, for I will come unto you and I will be your comforter. But he left his body here. That's you, that's me. That people should be able to see God in us. Glory to God. Revelation 21 and 5. Revelation 21 and 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now, I don't know about you, but when he did my makeover, he made me new. There are a lot of people who have made commitments to God, but they didn't have the power of God in them in order to make themselves new. And they fail. And I think a lot of people don't come to God because they recognize, I've tried some of these things on my own and I've just ended up failure. I tried to stop this, and I tried to stop that. I tried to clean up my life, and it just didn't work. But when God makes you new, you know, he makes you new for good, forever. And then if you'll turn to Matthew 22. And verse 17. Matthew 22 and 17 says, "Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why tempt ye me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute money." And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, "Whose is this image and superscription?" They say unto him, "Caesar's." Then saith he unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are of God." So, what he's saying is, okay, you know, let's look at the coin. What do you see on the coin? What's the image on the coin? True ownership and possession is proven in two ways. One, whose image do you bear? And whose name do you wear? And so the image is Caesar's. The name is Caesar's. It belongs to Caesar, you see. If I bear his image and have his name on me through baptism, then I belong to Jesus. Once we don't have the image, you see, or once we don't have the name, you see, Brother Woodward said this Sunday night, "We don't keep holiness, holiness keeps us." What an incredible statement, you know? We're all trying to, you know, be holy because it's, no, holiness keeps us in the image of God, and therefore we have all of the attributes and all of the access that we need from God if we still bear the image of God and have the name of God on us. Keep us in his image so he can see himself in us and he can bless the church. I've said over and over again, God's not looking for better methods. He's looking for better people. And when we take on the image of the Heavenly Father in our life, God's saying, "I've just got to bless you. I've just got to give you. I've got to protect you." See, render unto God. And we've got a God that knows how to keep people, you see. And that's why 4,000 years ago, God was asking Adam, "Where are you?" Or maybe, "What in the world happened to you?" You know, I've said this, and I don't have scripture for it, but, you know, they're walking around naked in the garden, you know, for who knows how long. It could have been years in the garden, not noticing that they're naked. And then all of a sudden they recognize, whoops, no clothes, you know. And I truly believe, like on the Mount of Transfiguration, that there was a shroud of light over them, you know, because that was the blessing of God over them. But when they sinned, the shroud went away, or the protection, you know, from shame and everything else is gone. And I believe that when we hear the trump sound, we're going to have a shroud of light that is over us. This is a nice suit, but I'm not wearing it to heaven. I'm getting new duds. I'm getting a shroud of light, I believe. Even fine linen isn't good enough for heaven, you see. But there's going to be an aura, I believe, of the Holy Ghost that covers us. And I want God to recognize me by his reflection in me. And I don't want God to ever come to me and ask, "Where are you?" Or even worse, "What have you become? You were my image, and now..." Because I don't look like or reflect the image of God anymore. Oh, there's a reason to stay with holiness. God isn't so important. He looks on the heart. No. He looks on the body. He looks on the image of what we're supposed to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Until men are born again of the Spirit, which empowers them to live for God, and born of the water, which gives them the name and the authority, God can't find the body that he wants to reflect to the world. The real joy of Pentecost was to restore the original image of Adam in the church. God sees himself in us. But even more important, the world sees God in us. And we become the display of all of what God is to this world. And some have just simply followed us into the church because we reflect the image of God. That's it. It's over. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? There are a lot of people who don't see the necessity for sanctification. And you know the reason for that? Because no one's ever taught them. You get what you preach. And what ladies said about the teaching this last weekend at ladies' retreat was, wow, that is so incredible. Because we basically want to know what pleases God. But if we aren't told what pleases God, then we kind of wander around and make our own decision thinking, okay, I think this is good enough. No, he's got a whole book of it right here. Amen. And there are so many nuggets and secret things that God wants to reveal to us. But when it's made very plain that we are the new Adam, we are the reflection of what God really wanted to create in the garden, well, then it's so much easier to live up to the expectations of our God when we know what those expectations are. Amen? Amen. Do you love him tonight? Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?